Hi everyone, it's great to be with you again. My name is Craig Buerta and I'm preaching to you from Grace Generation Church in Pietermaritzburg. Unfortunately, we don't have the congregation with us today. I'm preaching to my cameraman, but I know you're watching on YouTube and Facebook, and so thank you for joining us. What I want to do today is I want to preach to us from Psalm 23. I just feel God has drawn my heart again to this great psalm. During this second wave of COVID that we've been going through, knowing that people are struggling and some have lost loved ones. We've also, as a church, lost Vanna Schmidt, has gone on to be with the Lord. And it was a very difficult time for us and particularly for the family, for Louise and the children. And so I've been thinking a lot about the shepherding ministry of Jesus. And I want to bring you some thoughts from Psalm 23 today, hopefully to encourage you and strengthen you at this time. And so let's just come to God's word as we read together Psalm 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray together as we come to God's word this morning. Father, we just want to thank you so much for your word. Thank you in particular for Psalm 23, Lord, that sustained and encouraged so many believers over the years. And we pray this morning that you would speak to us and strengthen us and encourage us through your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so I want to dive straight in this morning as we just talk about the shepherding ministry of Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. And it's so important for us at this time to know his shepherding care, his guidance on our lives, his strengthening of us as we face this ongoing COVID pandemic, and we experience great global shifts that are impacting everything in our lives. We've seen even the upheaval in America and all that's happened there as well. And we see that everywhere we look, things are shifting, things are changing. And God is at work with us and behind the scenes in order to set the stage, I believe, for future gospel breakthrough. But it still is an unsettling time. And so we've also looked at things at the beginning of this year, and as we've prayed, we're actually in the middle of 3 days of prayer and fasting at the moment, and we believe God has spoken to us as under-shepherds as well, as elders, that this year should be a time of strengthening and shepherding as well, as we attempt to just strengthen one another and support one another for future breakthrough. It says in Isaiah chapter 54 that we need to strengthen the tent poles, picture of a tent, and we need to strengthen the tent poles in order to prepare also for future enlargement, and to prepare us and to protect us from the storms and the disturbances that come our way. So it's really a year of strengthening for enlargement. And when we come here to Psalm 23, Psalm 23 is a psalm of strengthening and encouragement. The psalms are amongst the most loved and most popular parts of the Bible. And they've been there historically to encourage God's people during times of difficulty. And so they're meant to be read, they're meant to be sung, they're meant to be shouted, and they're meant to be lived out by God's people. They help us to know more about God and more about ourselves and how to live the Christian life. And within the Psalms, Psalm 23, or Song 23 if you like, is probably the best known psalm in the Bible. It was written by David, who himself was a shepherd. And it's called The Pearl of the Psalms, about God's care and His shepherding in our lives. I'm so thankful for God's shepherding at this time. Imagine going through the last year we've had without Jesus as our shepherd. And so the song really uses two images or two pictures really. It talks about the Lord as our shepherd, and it also talks about the Lord as our host, as He cares for us as guests. And so He brings about redemption, He saves us, He brings about restoration, He restores us, He brings about our rescue, He delivers us. And it's all for His reputation, that He may be glorified. And so, although it's a psalm we read at funerals, it's not a psalm for dying, it's a psalm for living. And I trust it strengthens you. I'm going to do it in two parts. We're going to look at some aspects this week, and then we're going to continue and conclude next week with the remainder of the psalm. And so let's come to our first point this morning. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd who loved me and chose me and died for me and saved me and is with me and is watching over me. He loved the whole world, but He chose me and He set His love on me. He cares for all His children, but He also cares for me. He is my shepherd. And nothing can separate me from Him. And that gives me great assurance in the midst of great tribulation and disruption. And so Jesus is my shepherd king who knows how to stoop low and to rescue us, because He Himself was a shepherd. He was a shepherd king, but He was also a sheep Himself who died as the Lamb of God upon the cross. And so we can trust Him, and we know that when we go through difficult times, even when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, as we'll see next time, He's with us and He leads us and comforts us through those times. And so friends, this is the shepherding ministry of Jesus. He really is our senior pastor. And He shepherds us and He cares for us and He leads us. And the more we get to know Him, the great lesson He wants to teach us as our shepherd is that we can trust Him in every situation. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want, because He's my shepherd. He will provide for me in every area of my life. I can trust Him emotionally, spiritually, physically, materially, relationally. I can trust Him with my past. I can trust Him with my future. I can trust Him with my life's future plans. I can trust Him with my finances, my weaknesses, my sin, my idols, and even during pandemics. And as I get older, I find that I'm becoming increasingly dependent upon Him. Very few people understand themselves, but Jesus, my shepherd, understands me. And He leads me, and He wants me to increasingly trust Him, because He is a good shepherd. And we find that He leads us. He says He leads me beside still waters, and He leads me in paths of righteousness. I want to talk about God's leadership in our lives and His leading in our lives. First of all, He leads His church, His entire church. Jesus is leading. Not just leading me, but He's leading all His people, as well as leading this world towards a great end point, a great climax of history when we will see the return of Jesus. And so He's leading on a global scale. This world is not just chaotic. It's not just haphazard. But Jesus is holding all things together by the power of His word. And so He's leading on a big scale, but He's also leading me in my life. And the way He leads me is by helping me to hear His voice. It says in John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I come to the sheep pen, and I open the door for the sheep, and the sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I lead them out, and I lead them into green pastures. And so shepherds in Bible times had distinct calls for their sheep, and they used to call their sheep, and the sheep recognized the voice of the shepherd, and they would follow him, and he would lead them out into green pastures, into new things. And today we really have God's voice coming to us through his word, through his written word. He speaks to us, and also through the voice of his spirit within us, the inner witness of the spirit. And we learn to recognize his voice. It's a familiar voice, and it's a voice that we love to follow. And friends, the world is filled today with so many voices, and it seems to be getting noisier. And it's so important for us in the midst of the noise and the news to listen for his voice. As we've said before, it really is a season where we need to recognize the voice of God, a season of voice recognition. Spurgeon said, "Sheep, Jesus' sheep have two marks on them, really. Their ears are marked so that they can hear the voice of their shepherd, and their feet are marked so that they can follow him." And so I would encourage you to make time to listen to him and to pick up his voice and to pick up heaven's chatter and to follow that still, small, inner voice. He speaks to us generally through his word, through the Logos of God, but he also speaks to us specifically when he speaks to us with his Rhema word, which becomes radioactive in our lives. And so he leads us by his voice. I trust that you will grow during this season, just hearing God's voice and following his voice as he leads you. But he also leads us, the Bible says, through beside still waters and paths of righteousness. And I believe we can call these the seasons of life. These different areas that we go through, still waters and paths of righteousness and banqueting tables and dark valleys. They're the different seasons of life. It gives me great assurance to know that he leads me through the different seasons of life. If we just look back on 2020 and how he led us through a very difficult year. And so I would encourage you to look at your life like that at the moment under this, in this pandemic. You may not be able to plan the whole year. You may not be able to plan the whole of 2021. But you can navigate the next season with God. And so don't just look at the year as made up of months, January, February, March, but look at it as broken up into seasons. Seasons of rest and restoration. Seasons of finding right paths again. Seasons of navigating dark valleys. And seasons of feasting and celebrating with others. Understand the season you're in. And the season we're in, and respond to it accordingly, depending on what God is doing in your life. On the funny side, I discovered I'm in a new season early in January. As soon as January started this year, I discovered that I went to the Liberty Mall shopping center here in Pietermaritzburg, and I was doing some shopping, and as I usually do, I phoned my wife a couple of times to find out if there's anything else she needs. And I think one of the times I phoned her, I had my phone in my pocket, I pulled it out and I lost my parking ticket to get out of the Liberty Mall. And I looked for it and I couldn't find it. So I went to the information desk and I said to the woman there, I said, "Look, I've lost my ticket. Please, can I buy another ticket, get another ticket? I need to get home." And she said to me, "Look, it's going to cost you 55 Rand. And I said to her, "I don't want to pay 55 Rand just to get out of here." And I was thinking to myself, I've got a 4x4. Is there any way I can get out of here? And we stood there looking at each other for a while. And she said to me, "How old are you?" And I said to her, I'm 60. And she said, "Well, I can give you a ticket at a pensioner's discount. I can give it to you for 8 Rand. And I said to her, "That's fantastic." And so I got out of the mall for 8 Rand, and I guess a whole new world has opened up to me as a pensioner now. That's the season I'm in. And I told my wife, and she thought that was extremely funny. But we go through these seasons, and we need to respond to the Lord in the season we're in. And we find that he takes us through them. But he also the Bible tells us that He leads and restores us. He refreshes us. And so there are seasons of refreshing. And I sense it's something we all need right now, where He makes you lie down in green pastures and beside still waters, away from the noise, as He restores and recreates your soul. And I would encourage you to find a place and a space for that in your life. Currently, I'm doing that very early in the morning with my cup of coffee to get me going, with a Bible and a caffeine shot. But I'm also discovering that I've started to do it in the evening. There's such a thing in the Bible as an evening sacrifice. It was around 3 o'clock when Jesus died on the cross, and I've realized as we get into the evenings, find I'm not doing so well in the evenings. At the end of the day, I'm tired and I can get down. And so Shannon and I've tried to pray together, even for a short while, 10 minutes or 15 minutes in the evenings as the evening approaches. And so in order for God to refresh us, because we need refreshing, we need restoration, we need sufficient times of consolation for upbuilding and to make up for times of desolation and distress. And so I would encourage you to do that. If you're tired, get some sleep. But if you're weary, get some more of Jesus. Psalm 23 tells us that Jesus refreshes our souls. He brings refreshing to us, to our souls. He understands what's going on inside of us, and He brings refreshing. And you can only be refreshed really when you just take time to be quiet. It's no good sitting beside still waters if you have a turbulent spirit. We need to make time to be refreshed, to be restored in this chaotic season. And you'll find that things like green grass and still waters, they're simple things, really. David Paulison says, simple pleasures are good and guilty pleasures are bad. And we need to, I believe, enjoy simple pleasures at this time. What gives you simple pleasure? What refreshes you? Is it a bit of worship? Is it friendship? Is it being alone with God in the morning with your coffee? Is it a good meal? Is it exercising at home? Is it talking to friends? What enables you to be refreshed? Then do it. What pleasures energize you and prepare you for the next day? For Shannon and myself, it's been a difficult season, but it's been a season of reevaluation and appreciating the simple things, the little things that God has given us. Contentment comes from wanting what you already have instead of having extra things that you want. And we need to see the little things that we take for granted every day as gifts of God and to be thankful. It's so important. And they help us to prepare to just be happy with Jesus, to be in a place of contentment. And just to say that there really were five areas traditionally and historically that God has used with His children in the church, areas of restoration, areas for grace and renewal, green pastures, if you like. And they were the five areas of God's Word and of His indwelling Spirit and worship, of breaking of bread, thirdly, fourthly, the fellowship of the saints, and lastly, prayer. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we've just looked at the book of Acts, it says, and they devoted themselves to those five things. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, and awe came on every soul, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. And so currently in the season we're in, things like breaking of bread and physical gathering and fellowship have been a challenge. You can't do them always because they're physical things. Breaking of bread is also a physical thing. You can do it online, but it's much more difficult. You need to break the bread and feel it and break it with your brother and your sister. And because of social distancing, areas of fellowship and breaking of bread have been a challenge. But the Word of God has been really strong in people's lives, as we've moved to electronic preaching, and many folk have received great help and strengthening through that. And so the word has been strong, but I would encourage us as we step into this year that we don't neglect strengthening one another, even through phone calls and through using electronic media and social media as well. And we don't neglect prayer as a great means of corporate restoration. Let's not do that. We did neglect it last year. And let's make every effort to not do that this year, that we may be built up. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. And so he wants to restore life to you. He wants to enliven you and me. He wants to restore you. It's like restoring old furniture. Some of the bits of furniture in our home are restored. I polished them up and painted them and cleaned them up and restored them. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to restore us. He loves to do that. Jesus said, I am the way. He gives direction. He said, I am the truth. He answers life's most difficult questions. And he said, I am the life. He restores energy and power when we feel weak and when we're struggling. And so I would encourage you with that. Jesus is not just in my life. He is my life. Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so Christianity is not primarily following a set of principles, but it's following a person. And because he lives, we live. And because he reigns, I can reign. And because he was accepted, I'm accepted. And when he returns and he's visible, I will be visible with him. Hallelujah. And so he leads us through restoring us and giving us life. But he also leads us next. He leads us, my next point, I think it's my fourth point. He leads us in paths of righteousness, it says, for his name's sake, for his reputation, for his glory. And what does that mean? It means, it speaks about the providence of God and the care of God and the guidance of God. It means that not only does Jesus put us right with God, we put into right standing with God, but it means he also chooses the right paths for our lives. Paths that are right for him and paths that are right for you. And he leads us down these tracks of righteousness, these straight paths, the narrow way he wants you to follow that leads to life. And he wants us to develop habits of righteousness so that these paths become well worn. And he will reroute you when you stray from these paths. And the devil will try to devour you when you step off the path that God has for you. And friends, that's why social distancing mustn't become social isolation in this season. There's safety in gathering, even electronically. And notice in the scriptures, the shepherd is not worried about the 99 sheep because there's a measure of safety in a group, in the flock. But he leaves the 99 and he goes after the one because that one was isolated. And isolation can lead to dislocation in your life and devastation in your life. And I would encourage you to not do that in this season. As we talk as pastors and leaders around the world, there's shifts happening in the church and some people are just disappearing. Sometimes people leave before they leave. And I would encourage you not to do that. I would encourage you to plug in. And make sure that someone knows how you're doing and where you are. It's so important at this time. And that's why we really need to be looking out for one another in this season. It says in Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Lamps and lights. And so we find that with the lights, God lights up the pathway before us. He gives us the bigger picture for our lives so often. He gives us a sense where he's taking us. But he also provides a lamp for our feet so that we don't stumble over the day-to-day dealings of life as well. the big picture and daily tasks. And it's so wonderful that he does that for us, because we're living in a world today that has lost its way. And it doesn't have this luxury because it's rejected the pathways of God in a time of great global disruption. We see that as that's happening in America at the moment, great disruption in the nation because of people have left the pathways of God, and we find today that there's great anxiety and loneliness that's seeping in the absence of following the pathways of God, and I'd encourage you to watch that. I was reading an article recently from called Rethinking Humanity, and they were saying today the five foundational sectors of the global economy, information, energy, transport, food, and materials, are being disrupted at an unprecedented speed and scale. There's implications for wider civilization. Indeed, the 2020s, they're saying, will be the most disruptive decade in history. COVID has simply pulled the curtain off the fragility of current models of production and governance. And he says, collectively, we need to learn to make the right choices. And how do you do that if God is not at the center of your life? And so, friends, we need God's wisdom. We need his right pathways. We need his strategies. We need his lamps and lights so that we stay on the pathway of God. And God's pathways are not just about moral renewal, but they're also about blessing you as well and fruitfulness. God's paths of righteousness. Righteousness leads to fruitfulness in your life. And unrighteousness leads to barrenness. In John 10, again, Jesus said, I'm summarizing it, my sheep hear my voice and I call them by name and I lead them out into new pastures, into fresh things. Let him lead you this year out of areas of stagnation in your life, out of areas maybe where you feel restricted, where perhaps even there's sin operating in your life. Let him take you into new things, fresh provision, fresh growth, fresh blessing, fresh fruitfulness. Let him lead you out in order to lead you in. As I come to a close, Philip Keller says, a good shepherd needs to keep his flock on the move. It dominated all his decisions. And Philip Keller was a Bible teacher and a shepherd himself. He said, sheep dare not be left on the same ground for too long. They need to be moved from pasture to pasture almost every week. It prevents overgrazing. It prevents the sheep getting infested with parasites. And it also prevents the sheep from getting frustrated. And friends, thank God the kingdom of God is like that. It's ever moving. It's ever advancing. Even in the midst of global upheaval, the gospel is growing. The bride of Christ is maturing. The kingdom is coming. God has more for us. So I would encourage you at this time, don't be a settler. Don't let this pandemic cause you to isolate, to freeze up. God wants to restore you. He has fresh paths for you to walk. God is shifting things around and deeply at work behind the scenes, because there's a future hope and there's more gospel work that he wants to do. I got a phone call early in January from one of the young men from a church in Maritzburg here, from a larger church, and he said, I've been reading Michael Eaton's Plan and Purpose, the systematic theology we did as a church, and he said, I've really been impacted, and he phoned me and he said, I'd love you to set up a website for all his material for the Africa Leadership School, and he said, I'll do it for free. And he's a whiz kid. I mean, he's amazing. He's a millennial. I said to him, he's moving to Cape Town, but he's still going to help me. I said to him, have you sold your house? He said, listen, I'm a millennial. We don't have houses. I said, yeah, you just have cell phones and laptops and coffee machines. He said, absolutely. But it's been brilliant. And so I'm so excited. God has done fresh things in my life, even at the beginning of this year, and he can do the same for you. So as I conclude, I want you to remember this year, throughout this year, that the Lord is your shepherd, and he's leading you this year into times of restoration, on paths of righteousness. We'll see next week through difficult times as well, through valleys and darkness. He's leading us through these things. He's leading us out in order to take us on to new things. And so I would encourage you to to take the hand of your shepherd this year and let him lead you and let him guide you together with this local flock called Grace Generation Church. Ask yourself, as I come to a close, what are some of the areas that you need his shepherding care right now in your life? And what are some of the areas you need him to lead you out of? And what are some of the fresh things you need him to lead you into? I encourage you to read through this psalm on your own, make time, and speak to him, your shepherd. Let him meet with you. Let him restore your soul. And let him shine his light and his lamp on the path ahead, that he may be glorified in your life this year. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so, so much that in the midst of great upheaval, Lord, you are my shepherd. And I ask you to shepherd me this year, Lord, and shepherd my friends that are listening into all you have for us. Help us to be willing sheep that follow your voice into green pastures. In Jesus' name we pray that your name may be glorified. Amen.